Chapter 36. Eventually, the voices of the punished souls became a sort of background noise for Nico. Though they were certainly more insistent, they reminded him of his own internal voice, the one that always told him negative things about himself. What difference did a few thousand more make? He sat up and gestured for Will to join him. Will, still shaking, quickly crawled over and twisted around so his back was against Nico's chest. "I'm going to close my eyes," Will said. "This place, I don't like looking at it. It's getting more and more intense." "I got you," said Nico. "Just rest, recuperate. I'll wake you when Small Bob does anything." The calico meowed, then hopped into Will's lap. Will went silent then, only moving as he breathed. Nico suspected that the protective layer over Will's vision, kind of like the mist but for demigods in Tartarus, was fading. That wasn't good. It was actually very bad. An unfiltered view of Tartarus felt like beetles invading your mind, and Will was already so weak. But Nico, well, he'd done this before, so he was better able to withstand the signs of a slumbering protogenos as they drifted down a river full of agonized souls. He finally saw the source of the lava fields far in the distance to their left. There was an erupting volcano spewing magma and black ash up into the blood clouds, and from there, flows of lava spread in every direction. Much like... Oh. He gulped. The lava flows spread over Tartarus like veins. This was the Protogenos' circulatory system, carrying fire and hatred throughout his body. Nico was thankful that Will was asleep and not observing any of this. "Not yet," said a voice from the river. "But he will. And then you two will give yourselves over to us." Nico shook his head. No, they wouldn't. They were here to free Bob from Nyx, and Nico would do anything it took to fulfill this quest and rescue his friend. But as the Acheron led them away from the lava fields, Nico still wasn't sure if that was true. The final lines of the prophecy jabbed at him. He still hadn't figured out what that part meant. How would he be required to leave something behind of equal value? It couldn't be Will. It couldn't be himself. It just couldn't. The river began to bend toward Nico's right, and that was when the sky started changing. The blood-red sky took on an orange hue, then a yellow one. Mountains rose on either side of the Acheron farther downstream, and they looked horrific, as if they were made of bones and knives, jagged and sharp. As the river approached them, Nico could also see the clusters of regeneration pods spread all over the base and lower half of the mountains. He wondered what kinds of monsters were going to break free from them, but then he was immediately glad he wouldn't be around to find out. On either side of the banks of the river were bone-white Joshua trees, thorny bushes, and the skeletons of cacti. This was a wasteland within Tartarus. Nico wasn't sure which part of the body this represented, but he wanted to suggest that Tartarus use some moisturizer. And Will and Small Bob slept on. The mountains rose ever higher. Nico realized that the Acheron was set to pass between them, and his senses tingled. Something was wrong. Terribly wrong. He twisted around as best as he could without waking Will and saw. Shadows. Shadows were darting between the skeleton trees and cacti. Something was following them. Nico tried not to panic. They were on a fairly fast-moving river, and it was also wide enough that most creatures wouldn't be able to access the boat without plunging into the deep waters, but they were about to lose their advantage. As the boat floated toward the next pass, the walls of the mountains rose high above them. Nico recalled Percy's stories of facing Scylla and Charybdis with Clarice LaRue, and he knew that this predicament was far worse. This river was in a narrow canyon, and the Acheron thinned to a width only slightly larger than the boats. Anything that wanted to ambush them could do so now. Nico looked back one last time. He thought he saw something lurking behind the trunk of a cactus. He wasn't sure. And that was a million times worse. Just stay alert, Nico whispered to himself. His left arm was looped around his boyfriend, his fingers interlocked with Will's. But his right hand now crept toward his sword, and his fingers grazed the pommel. The boat entered the mountain pass. Nico kept his eyes on the steep inclines, dancing from one side to the other. There were jet-black scrub plants growing on the sides, as well as bushes with sickly brown leaves shaped like long needles. The stone of the mountains glistened, and Nico was sure that if he reached out and touched it, it would be wet and sticky, like in Oregon, like something that was alive. He pulled out his sword and brought his right arm around so the blade was now resting just over Will's body. He heard a splash behind him. It was small. Nothing too large, then. And to Nico's left, a few pebbles rolled down the mountain and softly plunked into the Acheron. He glanced up, gripped his sword tighter. The eyes were small and glowed in the yellow hue of Tartarus. There weren't many of them tucked up behind the needle plants, but they were there. Watching. Waiting. Waiting for what? Nico did not know. But they didn't attack the boat. The river surged, and they picked up speed, twisting through a sheer gorge before the Acheron sloped down. Nico held Will tightly as the boat bounced along the river, and then they returned to a slow drift once the Acheron straightened. Behind him, the short rapids petered out until they were a dull roar. And then, nothing. The canyon was deathly silent.
I really hate this, Nico whispered aloud.
The tension was unending. Nico wasn't sure if he was imagining the sound of something entering the water behind him, but he also didn't want to risk taking a look back and leaving himself vulnerable to an attack from either mountainside. Every so often, he'd catch a creature hiding in the shadows, its small, beady eyes glowing as it watched them. But nothing made a move. Meanwhile, Will began to stir in Nico's arms. He wasn't waking, but struggling in the midst of a dream. Nico wished he could pull the nightmares from his boyfriend's mind and take them on himself, so that Will could sleep restfully. He needed it.
You need it too, said the river. Why don't you join us? Why don't you rest forever?
Nico inhaled deeply, trying to still his racing heart. Soon, though, the twisting, turning canyon gave way to an opening. An ending. The stone walls on either side no longer towered over the boat. It was only once they'd passed the other end of the canyon that Nico allowed himself to look back. He spied a few sets of glowing eyes peeking around the trunk of one of the bony Joshua trees. Who were they? What did they want? Why hadn't they attacked? He glanced down at the dark waters of the river, but saw nothing following him. Nico settled, facing forward, and Will continued to twitch and kick softly in his arms. The Acheron flowed, and they flowed along with it. Will woke when Nico started coughing. Will drifted from his nightmares into consciousness. Nyx or Tartarus, he wasn't sure which. Nor did he think it mattered in the end, had sent him images of Nico, furious. You left me behind, Nico had spat, and he'd backed Will to the edge of the cliffs that overlooked Erebos, Hades' palace, and the fields of the dead. Now, it's your turn. And Nico had shoved him, over and over again. Will had believed he was falling, but it was only once his eyes were open and had adjusted to the yellow-green light that he realized he was no longer dreaming. The feeling of Nico trying to hold in a cough had shaken him awake. He leaned forward and spun around, and that was when Nico doubled over, coughing hard and deep. Before Will could react, before he could comfort his boyfriend, the gases hit him too. Will's eyes stung, then welled up with tears, blurring the sickly landscape on the banks of the Acheron. His lungs quickly filled with the bitter, thick air, and he started coughing as well. But it didn't help. No matter how hard he coughed, he couldn't expel the foulness.
Nico, he groaned. Where are we?
Small Bob sat on the bow of the ship and meowed at them. Nico spat a thick blob of phlegm onto the floor of the boat, and it was tinged with brown.
Inside, he slurred. We're inside.
Will wiped at his eyes and clung to the hull. He peered out into landscape, but everything was coated in a terrible mist, greens and yellows mixed in a sickening cloud. He could see the slick, moist stone ground, but nothing else. He gazed behind them and thought he saw a pair of glowing eyes, but the mist swallowed up whatever it was. Inside.
Inside.
Something was too familiar about that. Will crawled forward and lifted Nico's head, which had drooped to his chest.
Inside what? He choked out. What's inside, Nico?
Nico's eyes rolled in his head before they focused on Will. He had never seen Nico so scared before.
You know, Nico breathed out. The mist.
Will was beset with another bout of horrific coughs, and he fell back, his right shoulder hitting the opposite bench and ringing out with a dull pain. The acidic air clung to his lungs. It coated his skin, which then began to blister. The bumps were small at first. His arms were itchy, but as soon as he brought the fingers of his other hand up to scratch, the lumps became prominent. He cried out and bolted up and saw that Nico's outstretched hand was bubbling with them, too. It was like they were being digested. It all came to him then, and it felt as if something had been lifted from Will's consciousness, some sort of gauze that had been there since they'd fallen into Tartarus on this very boat. He had never seen Tartarus for what it truly was. Everything before this had only been what his mind had been able to handle. Will crawled forward. How had Nico described it? Tartarus was alive. Oh, they were inside the old god. And this was his digestive system. Tears flowed out of Will's eyes. No, this couldn't be happening. This couldn't be true. But his skin ached. His lungs struggled to fill themselves with air. And his eyes burned. They were being consumed. Tartarus was alive. Will felt his mind start to crack, to shatter. The pained voices in the river cried out to him, reminding him what a horrible person he was, showing him how many monsters he'd killed, how many campers and demigods he had failed to protect. His fingers were in his bushy hair, pulling it over and over again, and he clamped down on the scream building in his throat. It was Small Bob who saved him. Will felt claws in his shirt, on his chest. Small Bob's face loomed in his, and he meowed loudly. Huh? Will tried to grab the cat, but the furball darted off toward the bow of the boat.
Meow!
What is it?
Will struggled toward him. The cat continued to mewl, so Will pulled himself up and peered over the hull. The Acheron was widening, but that didn't interest him. The shadows in the mist, however?
Will squinted. Within the clouds of acid, he could just make out twisting shapes that rose out of the ground.
The boat slowly drifted toward them until he knew. He knew what they were.
Nico, he cried, then coughed. Nico, I think we're here.
He turned quickly, and Nico groggily pushed himself off the bench he was leaning on.
What? He said. What is it?
Will pointed, as Small Bob mewed again.
I know those trees, he said.
For a moment, the name escaped him, but then he was finally able to blurt it out.
Mangroves!
Nico squeezed next to Will and spat again.
Which means,
Small Bob meowed.
It's a swamp, said Will.
Right then, Small Bob leaped from the boat and landed on the shore. He kept pace with the boat, yowling loudly. Nico groaned as he stood slowly. He stepped out of the canoe to follow Small Bob and waded his way to the banks of the Acheron. The voices hissed and cried out.
You can't leave. You can't escape what you've done. Failure. Join us. Come, join us.
Nico stumbled, and Will spun around. He needed to land the canoe, moor it to something, so he could climb out.
All he had to do was stick out an oar and... The oars! No, he had completely forgotten them. They must have fallen out when he had flipped the boat to make a shelter for Nico. Panic filled Will. He looked back at his boyfriend whose figure was getting smaller on the riverbank. So Will grabbed the gunwale and he, too, jumped out of the boat, keeping a tight grip as the Acheron's freezing waters ran over his bare skin. He was finally ready to admit that wearing shorts had not been the brightest idea. An unbearable pain ripped through his body, and this time it felt like the souls of the punished were clinging to his legs. The boat was being pulled downstream by the current, but Will held on to it as he took a tentative step toward the bank. Then, with a scream of frustration and agony, he heaved the canoe onto the shore. He dragged it with jerking movements until it rested completely on the mossy ground. Only then did Will allow himself to collapse. He lay there, staring up at the diseased sky, his every breath a painful rasp. Thankfully, Nico soon arrived. "Will," he breathed out. "Will, you're okay." "I hate this place," said Will, struggling to sit up. Nico actually laughed. "It's really terrible, isn't it?" This time, even Will couldn't resist. He fell into laughter with Nico until the son of Hades was doubled over, coughing into Will's chest. "We look hideous," said Will, "like Aphrodite's worst nightmares." Small Bob trotted up to them, and Will was suddenly overcome with emotion at the sight of the cat. He held out his arms, and Small Bob crawled into his lap, where he promptly curled up and started purring. "Thank you, Small Bob," said Will. The three of them sat there while Will and Nico caught their breath, which still hurt from the acidic air, but it wasn't as bad as it had been a few minutes ago. By the time Will felt rested enough to rise from the ground, he'd noticed that the greenish-yellow mist only hung lightly in the mangrove forest. He could make out the twisted roots of the trees and now saw there were other plants, too. Thin reeds with puffy ends shooting out of the ground, a leafless clump of bushes, their branches covered in thorns. Dark vines with small gray flowers hung from the mangroves. "So this is the swamp," said Will. "It's sort of peaceful here."
"Peaceful?"
Nico spat out some more phlegm.
"Really?"
"I don't know, in its own way, it's so quiet here. And the longer I'm in the underworld, the more I have to accept that it's nothing like what I thought it would be." Nico raised an eyebrow. "What do you mean?" He gestured to the mangroves. "It's like in Persephone's garden. There's no sunlight at all, and yet these plants all seem to be thriving." Nico fidgeted in place.
"Well, yeah, like I said before, life finds a way, even here."
Will stepped closer to Nico.
"I've been kind of closed-minded, haven't I?"
"That bothered you," he said. "And so I have a lot of other things I've said, right?" Nico shrugged.
"It's not a big deal."
Will rolled his eyes.
"I knew it. I'm fine, I promise."
"Nico," he said, "I can always tell when you're upset, and we're in a place where being upset is actually a very bad thing." Small Bob mewed softly at Will's feet.
"See, even the cat agrees with me."
Nico looked like he was going to give Will a sarcastic reply, but he pressed his lips together, then sighed.
"I just feel like sometimes you haven't been willing to see the underworld through my eyes," he finally said.
"Through your eyes?"
"I don't know, it's complicated. I get why this place scares you, and it's not like I love Tartarus or anything. But the underworld is... well, it's like a second home for me, and it hurts to hear you talk about it like it's evil."
"Death isn't evil. It's just death." Will thought about that for a moment. Nico did have a point, and Will's mind immediately offered up a memory. The sight of Persephone, glowing with beauty amid a garden that was the most picturesque thing Will had ever seen. Her words came back to him, too.
"A god or demigod so surrounded by death. They seem to appreciate life more than anyone else."
The underworld was populated by death. That didn't make it evil.
The troglodytes had helped them. So had Menetes and Amphithemes. He was more victim than assailant. There was so much life in this place dedicated to the end of it. Maybe that's what Nico meant. Somehow, the underworld was like a spark of hope in the darkness. I know it's not all evil, Will said finally, and he took Nico's hand. It's just, I guess it's hard for me to adjust to it all, but I'm trying. Do you believe that? Nico examined Will's face. Yeah, he said. And it warmed Will's heart. I think you are. I still think Tartarus sucks, Will said. Nico chuckled. Oh, I agree, it's...
Meow.
They both looked down to small Bob, who stood facing the Acheron. He was hissing, his back arched, tail up in the air. Will's heart flipped in his chest when he followed small Bob's gaze and saw... on the other side of the river, a pack of cynocephali. The dog-headed monsters approached slowly, their lips curled up in growls and snarls. The leader, was it the same one Will had narrowly escaped earlier? Paced back and forth, eyeing the river, clearly trying to determine if it should wade in. Oh, great, said Will. They followed us. Nico let go of Will's hand and grabbed his sword. I think I spotted them a few times along the way, he said. I wasn't entirely sure what was tracking us, but it had to have been them. Nico's voice didn't sound entirely certain to Will, but it didn't matter. He quietly counted the pack. 7, he said. 7 of them, 3 of us. Small Bob hissed again. Will glanced at Nico, but he didn't seem fazed at all. He had a mischievous grin on his face. What is it? Asked Will. Our odds aren't 7-3, he said. Ours are much higher. Nico lifted his sword, blade down, then called out a summoning as he plunged the tip of it into the mossy terrain. Immediately, the ground rumbled, and Will stepped back as a crevice formed in front of him. A bony hand poked out stiffly from beneath the dirt, and soon more bones appeared as skeletons rose from their resting place and... No, something was off. Will sensed it. Before Will could stop Nico, before Nico could realize what he'd done, the truth revealed itself. The bones were not the dead, not in the way Will and Nico understood them. Will knew this as soon as the first creature's head broke free of the earth, and pushed itself upward. Its head was crested with sharp serrated bones, femurs and jawbones, ulna and humeri. Some were absolutely not human. When the monster fully emerged, it stood on 2 legs, but otherwise looked like something between a goat and a woolly mammoth. Its body covered in shaggy, matted fur, its eyes slitted and red. It roared, a piercing, horrifying sound that made Will clutch his ears, certain his eardrums would rupture if it went on any longer. The monster spotted the cynocephali across the Acheron. The dog-headed creatures howled and barked, but Will watched in shock as the towering monster easily stepped over the entire river, then swung its crested, bone-covered head down and cleaved 3 of the cynocephali in 2 with just 1 movement. We should go, whispered Nico, his hand now on Will's elbow. Will wasn't going to argue. He turned with Nico toward the mangrove forest, and another one of the woolly mammoth goat monsters burst out of the swampy forest. It crushed a tree under its hooves, then blew its rotting breath into the boys' faces with a roar. Damn it, said Nico.
Chapter 37
Small Bob glowed brightly enough that Nico could see his skeletal outline. Nico watched as the cat elongated, then grew in height, until there was a full-size, snarling, illuminated, saber-toothed tiger next to him. Well, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen, he thought. Nico glanced back at the first woolly mammoth goat monster, which was making quick work of the remaining cynocephali. They didn't have much time before the odds would be... he grimaced. It didn't seem accurate to say 2 to 3, given that the two were enormous monsters Nico had never seen before. He had to focus, despite the fact that his inner voice was screaming at him. He'd sensed the dead beneath the ground and foolishly raised them, unaware that the bones weren't bodies, but attached to those things. What even were these creatures? What monster collected the dead and fashioned their bones into weapons? A part of him wanted to take back everything he'd just said to Will about the underworld not being evil, because these things seemed pretty evil to him.
What do we do? Asked Will. I don't have any weapons.
Maybe you can Care Bear stare them? Nico suggested.
Them? Nico, what are these things?
I have no idea. I've never seen them before. Will hesitated. I'm not sure I should use my abilities just yet. The monster took another thundering step toward the demigods, crushing the mangrove roots beneath it.
How about now, then? Said Nico. What about Nyx? What if I only have enough power for a single shot?
Nico glared at him.
What? Why would you say that? I'm exhausted, said Will. I don't know what I have in me.
The first shaggy monster roared, and both boys watched as it opened its mouth, revealing a truly unfair number of teeth, and chomped down on the head of the final Dinocephalus.
Well, that was awful, said Will.
Small Bob growled next to Nico, and he reached down to pet his head.
Kitty, I don't know what strategies you have, but I'm willing to try anything.
The saber-toothed tiger licked Nico's hand, and it was strangely very much like being licked by a house cat, just rougher. Small Bob crouched as the monster examined them. The woolly mammoth goat thing lowered its head just like Small Bob had, and the two creatures locked eyes.
Come on, Nico thought. You can do this, Small Bob.
The monster made the first move, charging the tiger. Nico grabbed Will and yanked him out of the way. It was just in time for Small Bob to leap up rather than to the side. He landed on the creature's neck, under the ridge of bones, and bit down on a fleshy spot. The creature cried out in pain, and Nico knew this was his only chance. He sprang forward, his sword ready, and jammed its point into the monster's leg with a quick and deep jab, then ripped it free. The monster immediately stumbled, falling on its bleeding knee, which was when Nico heard the impossible.
Leave Carl alone!
Nico spun around to find that the other shaggy creature had stepped back over the Acheron and had spoken.
That's unfair, the monster said. He's going to get a head start.
Carl whimpered. The monster's name is Carl, Nico thought.
Don't worry about me, Bartholomew. I'll still beat you this time. You're cheating, bro, Bartholomew yelled back. You're just jealous my collection is better.
What in Hades' name is going on? Said Nico, lowering his sword. You two can talk?
Bartholomew scoffed. That's a fine question to ask after you just stabbed my bro in the knee.
Small Bob hopped down off the monster's back and slunk over to Nico, his maw soaked with blood. Moments later, he turned back into a calico. A very confused calico.
Nico, I know Tartarus is a bizarre place, said Will, but please tell me I'm not hallucinating.
You're not hallucinating, he said.
Are they talking?
Carl panted on the ground.
I am right here, he said. You don't have to talk about me like I've already died, dude.
Bartholomew plodded over to his friend.
But you're about to, he whined. Did you plan this? Is this a setup, bro? Oh, so you think I somehow found this guy and brought him to Tartarus so he could resurrect us?
Carl laughed weakly.
Even you know that's absurd, bro.
Could someone please explain to us what's happening?
Nico cried.
What are you two?
Bartholomew lowered himself to sit next to Carl.
We are Eterna, he said. Surely you've heard of us.
Nico shook his head, but Will was nodding.
Alexander the Great wrote about you, said Will excitedly. You killed a bunch of his men over in India.
Carl grunted.
Gods, he was so annoying. Always said he never lost a battle, added Bartholomew. And yet we easily destroyed, like, half his army without them killing a single one of us. I guess we don't count, whined the other Eterna. Bartholomew snuggled closer. You count to me, bro. Bro, said Carl. That's so nice of you to say.
Am I drunk? Said Will.
I'm drunk. Manithi's put wine in the nectar. I know it.
Nico ignored Will.
I'm still lost. Why are you mad at Carl for dying? Then he turned to Carl. And why do you seem to want to die?
Oh, bro, it's so cool, said Carl. When we die, that's when we collect bones for our defenses. I'm gonna get so many more bones than Bartholomew, dude.
Only because you're getting a head start, screamed Bartholomew.
Now I gotta go find a battle that will end in my death, dude. Those dog-headed monsters are, like, way too easy, man.
At the exact same time, both Carl and Bartholomew turned their heads to Nico, then looked down at his glowing Stygian iron sword.
Bro, said Carl.
Bro, said Bartholomew.
Oh, no, said Nico. No, 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 don't even think of it.
It'll be so easy, said Bartholomew.
He then fully lay down and stretched out his neck.
Just make it real quick, and then it will be a fair race.
I'll still beat you, dude, said Carl.
As if. I'm gonna find so many bones that my bones will have bones.
Oh, yeah?
Carl coughed, and blood trickled from his mouth.
My bones won't just have bones, but while you're asleep, they're gonna steal your bones.
Bro, I'd like to see you try.
Will's jaw was practically on the mossy ground.
I think I may never recover from this.
I'm not going to kill you, Bartholomew, said Nico. I just thought you were going to kill us. That's the only reason we attacked Carl.
Bro, it's almost time, said Carl. I'll see you on the other side.
Not fair,
cried Bartholomew, and he raised his head, glaring at Nico.
Come on, dude, just kill me.
Nico dropped his sword, his face twisted in bewilderment.
This is too much, he said.
I can't willingly kill someone like that. Why not? You basically killed Carl. What's one more?
Will tugged on Nico's bomber jacket.
Let's just go, Nico.
At that, Bartholomew fully rose and roared at both of them. And once again, Nico really hated how many teeth were in his mouth.
You don't have a choice, the Eterna bellowed. If you don't kill me, I'll eat you both.
Which is the exact moment when Nico realized that Small Bob was no longer around. He looked down, then around him, and then he was too late. Small Bob, now back to saber-toothed tiger form, leaped from behind and clawed his way up Bartholomew's body. The Eterna roared, but mostly because he was surprised. There was nothing Nico could do as Small Bob ripped out the monster's throat. He fell to the ground, alongside his friend.
Bro, Carl groaned. You did it.
Just for you, bro,
said Bartholomew. You're the coolest dude.
No, you are.
Moments later, there was silence. Small Bob trotted over to Nico, looking quite pleased with himself. He shrank until he was back to a calico cat, then rubbed his blood-covered face on Nico's boots. The bodies of the two Eterna sank into the earth of Tartarus. The last thing Nico saw of Carl was a lone, bony hand disappearing into the dirt, its thumb raised in approval.
Let's never tell anyone about this, said Will.
Almost definitely not, said Nico.
Meow.
Small Bob began walking toward the swamp, stopping halfway there to turn back and mewl at Nico and Will.
I think he wants us to follow him, said Nico evenly.
I think I'm dreaming,
said Will.
Did Epiels just give us a fever dream?
Nico didn't answer. The two of them slowly followed Small Bob into the swamp, leaving Gorgira's boat behind. The blisters on their skin had begun to heal, but Nico picked at one of them as they trudged through the muddy undergrowth. Even with no sun in the sky above, the swamp felt just as muggy as a summer afternoon in Manhattan when all the heat got trapped in between the buildings and cooked the people down below. Sweat poured down Nico's face constantly, running into his eyes and stinging them. It was clear Will wasn't doing much better. His skin had fewer blisters on it, but it had returned to its previous waxy sheen. Nico had to slow his pace so Will could keep up, and even then Nico wasn't sure how much longer Will was going to last. The swamp was dense, dark, and oppressive. The greenish haze was gone, but high in the mangrove trees there was a yellowish mist that smelled of sulfur. The water below was a deep brown color, and all sorts of slimy creatures slithered away from them. Small Bob kept a much faster pace, darting so far ahead that Nico often lost track of the cat until they managed to stumble upon him. And then he'd bound away again. Nico knew he should be more vigilant about what awaited them in the swamp, but exhaustion was beginning to numb his senses too. He heard things rustling nearby, yet he didn't look. It felt like something was close behind them, but he couldn't bring himself to turn back. He moved forward, one pained step at a time, because if he stopped, if he hesitated, he would simply cease moving entirely. They walked for hours. Nico soon had to grasp Will's hand and tug him along. They stepped over gnarled roots and trudged through thick mud that threatened to hold them in place. The swamp hummed with a terrible energy. Was it the creatures who hid in the darkness? Or was it a sign that they were trampling through a living thing, an organ or another part of Tartarus that was just as alive as everything else? "I wish Small Bob could talk," said Will, breaking the long silence, "so he could tell us how much farther we have to go." "You're doing well," said Nico. "Every step we take brings us closer to Bob." "How come those boneheaded weirdos could talk but not Small Bob?" Will said, continuing as if Nico hadn't spoken. "Like, where's the justice in that?" Nico chuckled. "Yeah, that does seem pretty unfair." Will started to say something, but he snapped his mouth shut. "What is it?" asked Nico. He squeezed Nico's hand weakly. "I love you, Nico," he said, and his voice shook on Nico's name. Tears sprang to Nico's eyes. He could hear the pain in Will's voice. "I love you too. I don't mean to get sappy in the middle of the most cursed swamp in the whole universe." "You totally do," Will nodded. "I 100% do," he said. "I have to." Nico tugged him forward again. "Why?" Will hesitated, then said, "Because I can feel it all slipping away." Nico froze, and Will's boots sloshed in the wet mud. "What? I don't know how else to describe it," he said, his lips moving slowly. "It's like who I am and what I've done. It's hard to remember." Nico could feel his own exhaustion pulling at his bones, beckoning him to remain still, to drop to the ground. But he couldn't give in to it. Not after all this. Not with Will in this state. "Come on," said Nico. "We have to keep going." Small Bob meowed from the twisted roots of a nearby mangrove, and Nico guided Will in that direction. "I can't say I'm going through what you are," Nico said. "But think about what Percy and Annabeth told us. We have to keep reminding each other of our lives before. That's how we're going to survive this, Will." "Before?" Will groaned. "I can't grab on to any one thing. It's all a soup in my mind." "Then let me remind you," said Nico, "that we can talk about the stories we shared with Gorgeera." "Gorgeera," Will said her name sleepily. "Her dress was weird." "It was," said Nico, smiling. "It was full of voices." "Don't think about those. Think about what we told each other." "They said I belonged with them," said Will. "That I was lonely, even with you." Nico's heart sank. "What? Not all the time, Nico," said Will, shooting him a sad look. "Just sometimes, when I'm not sure if you've let me in."
Nico didn't slow down, even though he wanted to, even though he needed to know what Will meant, but he already knew, didn't he? As much as this trip had revealed some of Will's uncomfortable thoughts about the underworld and the darkness in Nico, it had also revealed that Nico often shut Will out. Of his past, of his feelings, of the things that scared him. "This relationship stuff is hard," said Nico softly. Will nodded. "Yeah, it is," he said. "I didn't know you had to, like, always work on things. But you do, don't you? Every part of it is a choice."
Small Bob leaped across the path they were on and jumped over a downed mangrove. Nico helped Will over it first, then hopped up onto the trunk. On the other side, Will had his arms out to help Nico down.
"Will, you're exhausted. Don't worry about me. I got you," said Will. "Just like you've had me this whole quest."
Nico eased himself into Will's arms, and soon they were both locked in a tight embrace.
"Is it okay if I tell you I'm scared?"
Will said into Nico's shoulder.
"Of course. Because I'm scared of what's coming."
Nico pulled away.
"Of Nick's? Maybe a little," he said. "But more the prophecy and what you'll have to leave behind."
Will's upper lip quivered, and Nico stilled it with a kiss. "It's not going to be you," he said, "and it's not going to be me."
"You promise?"
Nico hesitated for only a second, then blurted out, "I swear on the sticks." Will's eyes went wide.
"Nico, why did you say that?"
"Because I meant it. What if that is how you have to save Bob? Now you can't." Nico shook his head, then pulled Will along once more, desperate to get past this awkward moment.
"We'll figure it out when we get to that point."
He could tell Will had more to say, but his boyfriend fell back into silence. So Nico filled it as they walked. He started with the stories they'd told Gojira, even recounting Will's own past to him. His companion didn't speak the entire time, but Nico knew that Will needed this more than he did. He reminded Will about the infirmary, the trading of trinkets, that first kiss. Nico then shared parts of his childhood he'd never talked about before. Good parts. He spoke of Bianca, his mythomagic set, the Lotus Hotel. Nico described as much brightness as possible. He imagined himself as a sun that shone on Will and cast him in warmth. He had to, because shadows swallowed them on all sides. Gnarled roots threatened to trip them up, and thorny vines hung menacingly from the branches. They walked. Finally, Nico couldn't keep talking anymore. His throat was dry, and his tongue was sticking to the roof of his mouth. He so desperately wanted all this to be over, but the swamp kept going on and on and on. The only sound Nico heard aside from their footsteps was Will's labored breathing. It was getting worse. When Nico was certain that he was actually going to collapse before Will did, Small Bob started yowling repeatedly. Nico's eyelids were drooping again and again as if they weighed 1,000 pounds. His vision was beginning to blur at the edges, too. Sleep threatened to take over his body, but he couldn't stop here. Everything was dark and wet and muddy, and Nico had no idea where he was. What if Small Bob got too far ahead? What if they had doubled back the way they had come? So when Small Bob's cries reached Nico's ears, he let go of Will's hand, then began to lightly slap his own cheeks. "Stay awake, Nico," he said. "Stay awake."
"Is that Small Bob?" said Will. "Or is there some sort of cat monster calling out to us, announcing that we're about to be its next meal?"
Nico walked toward the sound of Small Bob and found him perched on an enormous root. The calico looked up at Nico and purred loudly.
"What is it?"
he asked.
"What did you find?"
Small Bob turned his head to the side. The trees were sparser in that direction. Beyond them, there were no more mangrove roots and no more yellow mist.
"Well," Nico said, practically vibrating. Well, I think we're here.
Small Bob bounded forward, and Nico chased him, dragging a stumbling Will behind him. The trees parted, and Nico gasped as they burst into the clearing. To his right was an enormous oak. It leaned so far to the left that Nico wasn't sure why it hadn't completely fallen over. He noticed it grew not from the ground, but out of a frighteningly large dracon skull. But there, in the direction the tree pointed, was a hut. It had a strange dome made of green leather and... were those bones? Maybe. The dark entryway was on the side facing where they'd exited the swamp, and Nico almost slipped on the mossy rocks as he scrambled toward it. Two large femurs were situated on either side of the door, their top ends stained black.
Damison! Nico called out. Damison, we are friends. Are you here?
We heard Will say something behind him, but Nico didn't stop. He needed this. They needed this. After so much pain and suffering, they had to have this one. Nico skidded to a stop in front of the hut. He tore free his sword, holding it aloft so it would illuminate the darkness, and stepped inside. His heart dropped to his feet. Will shuffled up next to him.
Where is he? He said. Where is Damison?
Nico wanted to cry. The hut is empty, he said. He's gone.
Chapter 38.
Gone? Echoed Will. What do you mean?
Nico slumped against the doorway. It just seemed so unfair. No one has been in here for a long time. He must not have regenerated yet. Nico couldn't keep the defeat out of his voice. All these monsters we've seen, and somehow, Damison has taken over a year to regenerate?
Well, we have shelter at least, said Will,
and he swung his knapsack around. He dug inside and pulled out a box of matches. Nico watched as Will moved slowly about the room, looking for something to light until he ended up igniting a pile of bones and strips of dried dragon skin in the center of the hut. The flames rose without smoke, which Nico didn't know was even possible, and cast an orange and yellow glow on Damison's hut. It was clear that someone had once lived here. There were rugs spread all over the floor, and near the back, a bunch of sheepskins were heaped up in what must have been a bed for, well, a giant. If Nico had curled up at the head, he wouldn't have even been able to see the foot. Damison had also bolted racks to the walls. Whether they were for hanging weapons or drying food, Nico wasn't sure, because they were empty now. And the giant wasn't here to answer any questions. Nico drifted toward Will, who stood next to the fire. Will was transfixed by the flames, his eyes unmoving and focused.
You okay? Nico asked. I just forgot what this felt like, said Will. It's not the sun, but it's nice.
As Will appeared to be recharging, Nico felt himself plummeting in the opposite direction.
I'm tired, he muttered. I know, said Will. Maybe it's finally my turn to take care of you.
Back to our old roles, eh? Nico smiled. My little nightlight. Will groaned. We're not starting that now.
My little Care Bear. Please stop.
Nico gave Will a tight hug. My little sun therapy globe.
All right, said Will. Go get some rest, now.
Yes, Field Medic Will Solis, said Nico.
He left Will by the fire and made his way over to the back of the hut. His body became heavier and heavier as he walked, and he practically collapsed on the sheepskins. They smelled faintly earthy, but mostly just stale. Another sign that it had been a long, long time since anyone had been here. He did not drift off to sleep immediately, though, even if his body wanted to. Will's back was to Nico, and his shadowy outline remained still. From this angle, it almost looked as if his boyfriend were aflame. Nico felt a wave of affection toward him. Maybe because the two of them were getting closer to locating Bob. But he also wondered, as sleep finally began to claim him, if it was because Will was trying. He wanted to understand Nico, even the parts that seemed difficult or sad. All Nico needed was to be seen and heard by someone he cared for, and Will was making the effort. Will glowed next to the fire like one of the torches on Erebos, and it was hard, even for Tartarus, to stamp out that kind of hope. Nico dreamed of his mother. She did not turn into a horrible monster. She did not reveal a mouthful of extremely sharp teeth. Why did that always happen in nightmares? She did not give him a cryptic message disguised in dream logic. It was nighttime, and Nico stood next to his mother on a balcony overlooking the canals. She'd convinced a friend to let her and Nico sneak into a lush, unoccupied apartment so they could watch the Festa Notturna on the water below. An enormous floating stage approached, decked out in ribbons and silks, a full orchestra upon it. Flanking it were two smaller barges with singers belting out complex melodies and harmonies. It was one of his favorite memories of Maria D'Angelo. He couldn't quite see because the stone guardrail came up to Nico's eye level. But then he felt his mother's hands under his armpits, and she lifted him up. "Stai attento," she said as she placed him on top of the railing. "Bianca," he cried out. "Guarda." Then he pointed to the floats. Nico turned, but his sister was not with them. "Mama," he said, twisting to the other side. She was not there either. He was alone on the balcony. Alone. The river called out to him. "This is where you belong," it said. "You do not deserve their love." And then he felt the hands on his back, heard the words in his mother's voice. "You will never make it back." She shoved, and Nico fell. He woke suddenly. The fire in the center of Damison's hut was still flickering. It sent shadows dancing along the ceiling, and Nico watched them as he regained his breath. He sensed warmth nearby and turned his head. He was met with a shock of blonde hair and Will's soft snoring. Nico's heart was racing. A part of him wanted to wake Will and tell him about his dream. It wasn't an impulse Nico was familiar with. He was more accustomed to keeping things to himself, and he also knew that Will absolutely needed to sleep. They both did. So, he resolved to talk to Will later, once they'd both gotten some rest. Would it make Nico feel better? He wasn't sure. But if he wanted Will to understand him better, he also had to open up more. It was a two-way street. He fell asleep again, his hand lightly caressing Will's arm. He plummeted from the balcony, over and over again. Chapter 39. Nico woke to small Bob licking his cheek. He opened his eyes slowly, and the calico's face loomed close to his. Okay, he said. "I'm up." He sat as small Bob scampered away, bouncing over to the still flickering fire. It didn't seem to have gone down while Nico and Will slept, and yet there was a chill in the air. He glanced down at his boyfriend. Will was clearly in deep sleep. His mouth was open, and there was a small line of drool on the sheepskin. So Nico leaned over, kissed him on the forehead, and decided to let him rest for a while longer. He took a sheepskin with him and wrapped it around his shoulders. Even with his bomber jacket on under the sheepskin, it was still cold. Much colder than it had been when he'd first entered Damison's hut. Even when he walked over to the fire and stood next to it, he could still see his breath. It was probably going to get worse. Nico heard a scuffling sound behind him, and he turned to see Will approaching. "Go back to sleep," Nico said. "I'm up," said Will. "Once I'm awake, it's hard for me to fall back asleep." Nico held out his sheepskin, and Will huddled beneath it. "You think this cold is Nix's doing?" Will asked, rubbing his hands together. Nico nodded. "She must be close. he said. Then, which means Bob must be close. Should we just find her now? You know, get it over with?
He raised an eyebrow. Get it over with?
Will yawned.
I know what I mean.
In truth, he did. Nico knew that facing Nyx was going to be awful no matter what happened, so he too wanted to get it over with.
Meow.
They both looked up to see the shadowed form of Small Bob in the doorway.
Well, clearly he thinks it's time for us to go, said Nico, reaching for Will's hand.
He squeezed it once. You ready, Will?
Will squeezed back. If I'm being honest, he said, then sighed. No, not really. But I don't have much of a choice at this point. We're practically on Nyx's doorstep, aren't we?
Terror fluttered in Nico's heart. He could see himself back there again, beyond the walls of Nyx's home, the mansion of night looming and seeing deep into his soul. He was going to have to return there. He knew it.
Let's just go,
he said, dropping Will's hand and turning from the fire to head towards Small Bob. Will went over to collect his knapsack. The cat was cleaning himself at the entry to the hut. He looked up at Nico and mewled pitifully.
I know, said Nico. I don't want to do this either.
Small Bob rubbed his head against Nico's boots. Moments later, Will stood next to Nico, his hand outstretched. In it was a small Ziploc bag full of golden Oreos, a granola bar, and a banana.
What's this?
Asked Nico. Will rolled his eyes.
Nico, it's food. We still have to eat down here.
You packed these ahead of time, didn't you? Nico began to peel the banana.
Seriously, what else do you have in your magic bag?
Will didn't laugh at that, though.
Not much, actually. I think the batteries I brought fell out somewhere, and there's not much nectar or ambrosia left.
Nico breathed in deep.
Well, we're almost there. Just a little farther to go, and then...
He let the thought die, not wanting to speak any outcome aloud. So he dropped the sheepskin from his shoulders and followed Small Bob as the cat bounded off into the swampy darkness.
For the first few hours.
Were they hours? How much time had passed in the mortal world?
The demigod spirits weren't as dire as Nico had expected. Sleep seemed to have greatly helped Will, who was no longer limping along. The blisters had healed on both their faces and arms, and Nico's mind felt clear for the first time in ages.
After they left the clearing around Damison's hut, Small Bob led them through a soggy woodland. The air was chilly here, too, and the light dew coated the green and brown grasses that grew in clumps like hair on a giant's head. Though Nico hadn't traveled through a swamp the first time he was in Tartarus, he wondered if this was part of the same forest he'd been in before finding the Mansion of Night. But he mostly felt disoriented. He had no idea which way they were heading, and he longed to be back in a world with the cardinal directions. Here, it was just down. As they trudged over the uneven ground, Will hummed to himself. It was a lilting melody, and Nico got lost in its rising and falling.
Another song of your mom's?
Nico asked once Will stopped. He nodded.
Yeah, this is gonna sound cheesy, but I think I remember Annabeth and Percy saying cheesy stuff helps.
Lay it on me, Will. I'm your grilled cheese. He stepped over a thorny rock, then squinted at Nico.
I think your metaphor needs work, he said.
Anyway, it makes me feel like Mom's here with me. Like I know she's not, but whenever things get scary and hard, I hum her songs, and I know she's somewhere thinking of me.
Good, said Nico. Let's have more of that.
Do you do anything similar?
Nico hopped up on a fallen tree, then pulled Will over it.
No, not really, he said. Father's not the sentimental type.
Will was silent for a moment.
I was asking more about your mom.
The comment shocked Nico so much that he misstepped and his foot landed in a pool of freezing cold muck. He shook off his boot.
Sorry, said Will softly. I'm not trying to pry. I'm just curious since you don't, talk about her all that much.
Nico felt a brief flash of irritation, but this time he pushed past it. Will wasn't being obtuse or rude about Nico's past. He genuinely seemed to want to know more about him. So Nico smiled at his boyfriend. "It's okay," he said. "It's just that, well, I didn't get much time with her before Zeus killed her. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have brought..." Nico held out his arm and stopped Will. "But I do have memories of her." He told Will about his most recent dream, explaining that the memory at the heart of it made him feel loved. "I sometimes have to remind myself of that," he said, "that people did love me when I was younger." Will seemed to chew that over in his mind. "Because it's harder for you to remember that when things get dark, right?" He nodded. "Yeah, that's more or less it." Small Bob meowed at them as if he was saying, "Stop being sappy and follow along." So they continued, doing their best to avoid the sharp, angular stones in the forest, as well as the mysterious puddles of lightly glowing liquid. Will asked more questions. Did Nico's dream bother him? Why did he think Nyx or Epiel's changed it the way it did? Did he have other nice memories of his childhood? "Sure," said Nico. "Some are easier to recall than others. It's hard, though, because sometimes I feel like all of that was so long ago." "Because of the Lotus Hotel?" He shook his head. "I don't think that's it. When I started talking to Mr. D about the whole PTSD thing in the summer, he told me it's actually really common for those of us who are dealing with it to feel as if our lives happened to someone else." "To someone else?" "It's a way for my mind to protect itself, basically. If it happened to someone else, it's not as painful to me. I don't have to relive things like, well, you know." Will clutched Nico's hand. "You don't have to say it. Let's just stick to positive memories while we're here, okay?" "Deal," said Nico. Hand in hand, Nico and Will walked through the forest trading stories, reminding each other that there was a world above them where they had friends, where they were loved, where they had something to return to. Nico was thankful for this because it allowed him a temporary distraction from a fact that was creeping into his awareness. He was certain that something dark and shadowy was following them again. The landscape changed over and over again. The trees thinned and a low, cool mist settled over a long plain of brown and sickly green grass. It reminded Nico of staring at Long Island Sound. The water seemed to go on forever. Yet this plain was motionless, and it slanted downward just enough that he felt like at any moment he might slip and then slide into the deepest part of Tartarus. Nico pressed on through the grass, following Small Bob. His calves ached first, then his head. He couldn't even settle into a rhythm that allowed him to mindlessly follow Small Bob. It was as if Tartarus wanted to make sure that any being who dared to traverse his body would be exhausted with every step. And for Will, it was worse. He lagged behind at times. His natural glow had been extinguished, and he was once again back to looking like he'd been dipped in wax. At one point, Nico ordered him to stop and eat some ambrosia. That was when they discovered it was the last piece. "Save it," said Will, "in case something happens." Nico didn't have the heart to tell Will that something was happening right now. They walked. The mist dissipated, as if Tartarus himself had sighed and blown it away. They were in a clearing in a field, and bumps rose over Nico's flesh. He knew this place. Where had he seen it before? Nico froze as they approached the center of the clearing. The name came to him immediately. "Achilles," he whispered.
"Gesundheit,"
Will said drowsily. "No, it's a name. Achilles, the protogenos I saw a while ago," he said. "We've talked about her before, remember? She appeared to me in a dream."
"You mean like Nyx?"
"Exactly like her. Nyx is her mother." Will groaned.
"How many children does Nyx have?"
"Quite a few," said Nico, trying not to lose patience with Will's memory lapse. "But this one, she doesn't seem to be here."
"Is that good?"
"She's a protogenos of misery and poison."
"Sounds like a yes," said Will. Well, let's not hang around and wait for her to show up.
Nico looked behind them. He sensed it again. Someone was watching them. Still, it was hard for him to locate a source. They were traveling over the body of a protogenos, so they were always being watched.
What was this, then? Why couldn't he escape it?
Small Bob led them out of the clearing, and the decaying field gave way to a large, dusty flatland. Will started coughing, and a few times they had to stop while he spat up dirt. But they trudged along, and Nico's whole body seemed to be throbbing in pain. Soon, he'd slowed down to Will's pace, which made Small Bob impatient. He kept darting ahead, meowing, then rushing back to the two of them.
We're trying, said Nico after the third time the calico cat yowled at his feet. I can't really see anything, so we have to move slowly.
Are you arguing with a cat? Joked Will.
Maybe, snapped Nico. What's it to you?
Nico,
Will said his name softly, a gentle admonishment.
Sorry. It's getting to me. This place, I mean.
I know, said Will.
It's like Tartarus is reaching inside my brain. I can feel something rooting around there, pulling my memories out. We can't have much farther to go. We have to be close.
Do you know that?
Nico didn't answer. Of course he didn't know. But Manichis had said that Bob was being held near Damison's hut.
Will stumbled, grabbing Nico's arm to keep himself upright. Nico swayed for a few seconds, then used his free hand to wrench Will up.
How much farther?
Will asked.
Let me ask the cat, slurred Nico.
Hey, cat, where is Bob? Are we there yet?
Small Bob came bounding back out of the darkness, and he sat at Nico's feet. His purring was so loud that Nico could feel it through the soles of his boots. He looked up and saw.
His stomach dropped. Darkness. Darkness everywhere.
The dusty plain dropped away in the distance, and it was as if reality blinked out of existence beyond it.
Nico, said Will, what's going on?
We're here, he said. At least I think we are.
Where?
Will spun and looked around him.
There's nothing here.
Nico pointed a shaking hand forward.
There.
Will followed the gesture. Then he gazed back at Nico.
I don't get it. What are you pointing at?
And then, as if a terrible maw into eternal nothingness weren't just a few yards away, Will started to walk forward.
Please don't,
Nico begged, and he lunged forward, grabbing Will's arm and pulling him back.
You can't. What are you doing?
Will screamed, and he shook off Nico's hand. Nico grabbed him again, only to discover that something was revealing itself out of the darkness. The dirt plain extended ahead in a narrow, sloping trail, and at the end of it was a doorway of black stone. On either side of the trail, nothing. It was the same path he had traveled the last time he was here.
Except, this wasn't the right place.
Nico had come out of a thick, dark forest the time he'd found the path to Nix's home.
What was this?
Will, can you see that? Nico asked.
Please tell me you can see it.
See what? Said Will, his voice rising in alarm.
I just see dirt, some grass, the same thing we've been seeing for hours.
Small Bob darted forward, and Nico watched as the cat negotiated the narrow path easily, then stood next to the stone doorway at the end. He meowed like he was saying,
Well, hurry up, bozos.
Will, I need you to trust me, Nico said.
The veil must still be over your eyes.
The what? Then Will's eyes widened.
Wait, you mentioned that before, didn't you? That only you could see Tartarus for what it really was.
Yes, exactly. And now I can see the path to the doorway I found the last time I was here.
But Nico, I think that veil or mist or whatever it is, it's already burned away. I know what Tartarus is. I can see him now for who he is.
Nico scratched at his head.
Then why can't you see the path to Nyx's palace?
Will shrugged.
Maybe she doesn't want me to see it.
That filled Nico with a whole new dread. Had he gotten Nyx's plan wrong? What if Will had nothing to do with it?
I dislike every part of this,
Nico groaned. He heard Will sigh beside him.
We're going to have to go down that path, aren't we?
Yep.
A path I can't see.
That's the one. A path that I'm guessing crosses over a dark and evil pit.
You guessed right.
Will took off his knapsack and handed it to Nico.
Well, if I fall off, I don't want to take what few supplies we have with me.
Will, said Nico, glaring. Don't say that. It's also so I can hold on to the bag as I walk behind you, Nico.
Oh, he frowned. Okay, that makes sense.
I'm not that dramatic, Will said, then curled his lips in a smile. That's your job in this relationship.
Oh, be quiet,
said Nico, but he couldn't help but grin.
Just hold on tight and stay directly behind me, okay?
I can do that,
said Will. Nico sure hoped so. He gingerly approached the point where the dirt path extended out over the void. As he got close, Will gently tugged on the bag.
You okay, Will?
He asked. Will hesitated.
I can hear the pit. Speaking to me, that is.
Ignore it. Or at least try.
It's telling me to jump.
Well, don't? Will actually laughed at that.
I have no plans to.
The toe of Nico's boot inched over the edge. For a moment, he wondered if the path was an illusion. If as soon as he took a step forward, he'd plummet into chaos, dragging Will with him.
Nico, just hold on, he said,
one foot in front of the other. That's what he had to focus on. He shook off his nerves and began walking. Each step was intentional and careful, and soon he was firmly above a void that did not end. Nico did his best to steady his shaky knees while crossing this perilous tightrope. He kept his eyes locked on the doorway ahead. If he looked down, he'd probably lose it and pitch over the side from vertigo. He inched closer and closer, and every so often, Will pulled down on the bag to keep his own balance. As they neared the doorway, Nico saw that it, too, was swirling with darkness. Pinpricks of starlight gleamed through the passage. Then the darkness spun away, and Nico spotted something new beyond it.
Nico,
said Will.
Oh, God, it's Nico.
Will could see it, too. Nico reached for the stone arch of the doorway, only to shriek as it gave way, and hundreds of black beetles crawled over his hand and up his arm. Oh, gods, he'd forgotten what this place is made of. He jerked back hard, too hard, and the backpack crashed into Will. Nico moved with the speed of lightning, whipping around and snatching the front of Will's hoodie as he started to fall backward. The fabric stretched. He heard the seams tearing.
Nico!
Will cried out, and he grabbed Nico's arms for support. Nico yanked him up and caught him in an embrace, tears pouring down his face. He held Will tight there at the end of the path as the void begged Nico to let go, to give over the son of Apollo.
I got you, he breathed into Will's ear. I got you.
After a moment, the two of them turned toward the doorway. And there was no hesitation any longer. They both ran through the arch, and there, on the other side of it, pulsing and shaking, was an enormous regeneration pod. Its fleshy membrane was practically clear, and inside, struggling within a yellowish goo, was Bob the Titan.